I took a picture of some yellow tape, like it was telling people not to go past. I took a picture there. Bronwyn took a picture of a tree. And Eva took a picture of the fire.
And you think you'll do more pinhole photography?
Yeah.
You just have to let go of your control and just let it be.
Welcome to Radio Free School.
My name is Maya Yotsuba, and I'm an artist that is working on the Pinhole Project, which is a project where I work with community members from any age and walks of life. And what they do is they learn to make pinhole cameras from garbage, and I prefer that they use their own garbage, and then they use those cameras to photograph their everyday environment. So it becomes like a little project about each person when they're done, and I work with them, helping them along the way, and at the end we compile everything in an exhibition. So the most recent exhibition is people taking pictures of the Red Hill Valley, and it's going to be the staircase for February. I am the main person that is kind of running the project and organizing it. I started working with pinhole about 2 to 3 years ago, and I was really amazed by the results and really interested in it because I've been working with light for a long time, so I just like the play of light, and I like having hands-on things. Like, I can understand the process. I make my cameras myself. So I thought it would be really interesting to get a lot of other people to do it, and there was an amazing interest. People always ask me how you can make like a pinhole camera out of a pizza box, and you know, they're always amazed that you can get good pictures out of that. So I kind of extended the project to members in the community, whoever was interested. So I was in Guelph at that point, and about 14 people in Guelph came out with really good results. I just gave them little pinhole kits with everything they needed to make a camera and the instructions how to do it. And they gave me the results back, and I developed the pictures because at the time I couldn't have them in the darkroom. It was a student darkroom. So right now in Hamilton, I'm just working with, I've been giving workshops and just working with people that are interested in it. And there, here, we've had more luck with darkrooms in a way. So people have been able to actually develop the pictures themselves. And I'm actually working on a portable darkroom that I'll be able to take to wherever I'm giving the workshop, and people can do it there.
When they hear pinhole photography, most people often will say, well, what's that?
Basically, that's how photography started, and it's called camera obscura. So camera obscura is what a lot of painters use to project something onto a wall and then paint it. And what that is, you need a black room with no light coming through anywhere but one place. And this is where the light is getting through, and it projects on the opposite wall of that one little hole where the light gets through. So what happened, I think the earliest time they know that this was used is in the 8th century. And what happened when photography came was they figured out a way to actually register this light that's being projected on a wall onto a sensitive, light-sensitive paper and develop it. So that was a breakthrough of photography, that they actually figured out the chemicals they needed to register the light, mm-hmm. and then process it so we can actually see what was registered. So that's what photography really is. It registers the reflected light of an object. I've done photography for many years now. I went to a specialized high school for photography. I didn't study in Canada, so it's a bit different. But so I think at the time when I got interested in it, I was kind of a bit bored with the normal process. I wanted something different. And I was always really interested in the basics of light and how light works. So for me, it was like I was working with light much more hands-on, I felt like. And I was also working with a lot of garbage and recycled materials. So I started making my cameras out of Tim Hortons cups, whatever I found around. It was really exciting because each object presented a different, in a way, a different challenge of how you're gonna do, how you're gonna get a picture, what a picture is gonna look like. I was interested again in the garbage aspect, and then for me it was amazing that I can like turn objects that people just threw out into something that was useful, and I can work with light in it, and I can make this thing register the light, you know, that's out there, and take a picture of what was in front of it. And to me, those results were really interesting because you never have as much control over pinhole as you have of normal cameras. Normal cameras, you know, you look through the viewfinder, you see what's happening, you press the trigger, and there's your shot. Well, with pinhole, you put it there, and you don't really know what exactly is taking picture of. And it's much more intuitive. So that was really interesting for me, and I always, like, I found I learned a lot more about, as I said, light before. I learned a lot more about how that works and like just the basis of photography. This is the very basis of photography where you have a dark object, you have a light going in it only through one little hole, and then you put something that registers that light, which is your photosensitive paper or film. And this is what photography is, and you really understand it.
Wonder I can think at all, and my lack of education hasn't hurt me none. I can read the writing on the wall. Cold or thrown, we'll be right back.
You are listening to Radio Free School on CFMU.
I remember the first times I started, I was trying to make match boxes into pinholes, and that was just a nightmare. At first, I think it takes a bit to get used to the medium and to understand how it works and what you can get away with, what you can't. There were some results that, you know, you just get a black negative and you can't do anything with it, right? Or you just get a white one and you can't do anything with it. There was nothing registered. And eventually I learned a bit more about how to expose and what, how long should my exposure time be. So I started getting satisfied with the results, and especially because there were interesting things where I had one picture. It was a Yate box that was a camera, and I just put it to expose. And there was this woman sitting on a bench. And then her friend came and sat on the bench halfway through the time when the picture was being exposed. So this second woman looked like a ghost. You can just see like her kind of silhouette, but you can see through her because she was only there for half of the exposure time. And that was really interesting. A lot of times when you take pictures with pinhole, they're very ghosty images, like of people who moved. And every time they move, like, it becomes smudged a bit and interesting. Sometimes they wouldn't even register because they wouldn't be in the picture long enough. If you're taking a picture for 1 hour and they're only in there for 2 minutes, there's not enough time for them to register. So that's interesting too. So it's really like a play between the camera and what's happening in front of it. And you're more of a spectator in a way. You're not as much of a, you know, you leave the camera there and you just let it take a picture. And sometimes you look at the results and you're like, well, it didn't quite work out. But sometimes you look at it and you're pleasantly surprised because you see something and, you know, maybe there was somebody, I remember, moved one of my cameras once. I put it in a bathroom and it was taking picture of like kind of the sinks, and then they moved it a bit. So it was taking picture of like the other angle. And it was interesting because they might have moved it, I think, in the middle of when the exposure was taken. So there was like kind of like these two images in there. You know, and all these little accidents that happen are very interesting, and I find they almost like allow more play in photography than how we used to think of photography as so exact.
Do you need certain skills in order to do pinhole photography?
Well, I think you need to understand, as I said, the basis of photography. So you need to understand what is the, how does pinhole work. First of all, to make a pinhole camera, you need to understand that it needs to be absolutely light-proof. And the only place is the pinhole where the light is getting through, because otherwise you're not going to really get a picture. So, and you also, you just need to learn, I think, things that are very basic, but they're also very important for the pinhole. Like, you can't make a really big pinhole, because then your picture is going to be really fuzzy. The pinhole is like your lens. So your lens has to be really good to take a good picture. So when you're making a pinhole, like I usually use aluminum from pie plates. So when you're making a pinhole, you're just making with a really tiny needle. And you have to be very gentle. Like, you need to learn those things. They're very practical skills.
It needs to be small and it needs to be like a nice round hole.
The other thing you need to know is you need to understand a bit about the light sensitivity of paper. The paper you're using, or film. I usually give people paper because it is cheaper and easier to work with.
Also, another thing you need to know about pinhole cameras is it's called focal length. And as a distance between the pinhole, where the light is getting through, and the surface where the light is projected, where you put your paper or negative, right? And that determines if it's wide angle or telephoto, or if it's normal camera. So when you take pictures, let's say with a camera, when you're really far away from someone, and you know how you can zoom in and get a close-up of them, that's telephoto. And if you can make a camera that's telephoto, you can make a pinhole camera that's long and it becomes telephoto and you can take close-ups. There's some problems with it because it's not very sharp. It's much better when you have a wide-angle camera that's has a very small focal length, which means the pinhole is really close to the paper or negative. So it's like, let's say, 2 inches or 3 inches. Like, you can get a shot of more things. Like, you know, if you're taking a landscape, you can get more of the landscape in.
Why don't you take a picture? It'll last longer.
You are listening to Radio Free School on CFMU.
I myself have only worked on black and white, but you could do it in color. You can probably purchase film that's color film and get it developed. The only reason I did black and white is because I can develop it myself. But yes, you could do color. Also, there's some people that have done slide film, which is, you know, slide film just comes as a positive. You don't need the negative and positive process. So you just get a sheet slide film, which comes like, let's say, 4x5 inch slide film, and you put it in the camera. The problem with slide film is that the exposure has to be very exact. And with pinhole, it's very hard to figure out exact exposure sometimes. That's the only thing that, you know, it's more expensive, so you can end up like spending a lot of money and not getting really good exposure and good pictures. I have been working with things in the Red Hill Valley for the last few months, and since I was doing the pinhole project, where people from the community learn how to do pinholes and take pictures that are important to them. I knew a lot of people that the valley was so important to them, and what was happening in it was very important, that it would be good to involve them in this project. And, you know, they were more than glad to take pictures, explore the many facets of the valley. The Red Hill Valley in Hamilton, I think, is one of the biggest urban parks in Canada. And what's been happening there is, 50 years ago, they decided to put a road through it, an expressway, to connect the south part of Hamilton to the part where the big industries were developed. Well, it's really not viable anymore. The industry has really died down compared to what it was. And this is in East Hamilton, which is one of the most polluted places in Canada. They have terrible air quality. It's the only green space left in that part. There's more green space in the west part of Hamilton, but in this part, there's really not too much left. The wealthier part of Hamilton is the west part, and then you go to the east part, it's like more working class kind of people, where their kids play there, and that's the only place they can go to, really, where they don't have to pay fees for recreation and so on. So it's just their backyard. That's a social justice issue as well as there's a native rights issue. There's burial grounds in the valley. There has been a camp set up there started by native protectors of the valley and their supporters from different places in Hamilton and other places. But that camp was destroyed. So it's been a lot of things happening there. It's been really like a place that's captured a lot of struggles that are happening in Canada and North America. A lot of struggles with native issues, social justice, environmental, urban sprawl issues, and democracy issues, you know, questions about what is democracy and how can normal citizens participate in it when they're really put to the side and told that, you know, the city has decided to do it. It's this beautiful valley. It's this amazing place in Hamilton that you can just walk off the street and be in the woods in like 2 minutes. And just to explore this little beautiful places in the valley that you can go to. And part of some pictures I did that I might put up are actually of the clear cuts in the valley, and to see that as well, you know, to see the effects that we're having right now and just piles of like ripped up wood and piled up in big piles. So, and I wanted to give people the chance that were really passionate about the valley to have some outlet for how they felt about it, and to just like, mainly the project was to express the beauty they see in it and their relationship with it. To capture the beauty of the Red Hill Valley and to present for people to see it for what it is. And a lot of the cameras I did myself, I actually collected from the valley. So, because there's a lot of people that throw garbage in there, like they drive by with their car and they throw like a Tim Hortons cup. So I just went and collected that and turned it into cameras, which that was very interesting, because the fact that how we treat our natural spaces, and also like that I could recycle those things and turn them into something that deals with the beauty of the valley and what it really is. I guess the one thing I want to say is that the way I think about pinhole photography is much different than the way people think about photography. It's not as exact. It's more, you just have to let go of your control and just let it be for what it is and let the pictures be for what they are. It's very, very intuitive and very mysterious in a way. I think that's really important. You just have to work with the medium and learn from it and kind of give it back. After I started the project with pinhole photography, working with the community, I decided it would be really interesting to take it across Canada and just go from coast to coast, and I call it the Coast to Coast Pinhole Project. Cover every province or territory in Canada and work with people from those communities. And that's why I was hoping to create a portable darkroom that I can take on my bike and travel to different communities that don't necessarily have darkroom facilities and can have this like in their everyday basis. They can't really go in the darkroom and learn how to make pictures or learn about photography. So I was really hoping to do that and then compile an exhibition which is kind of like a chronicle of the lives of people in Canada, because each person would create pieces very specific to who they are and what their life is, right? They have to take pictures of their everyday environment and things that are important to them. So it will probably require doing it for, I don't know, a number of years and going, let's say, to one province and then spending like a few months traveling around in it and going to different places for like 2 weeks, let's say, or 3 weeks, and working with people that are interested in that community. I was thinking of rural communities, like not that urban communities have that much more choices for certain things, but there's much more open to urban communities, I find, in terms of workshops and facilities than rural communities. It would be good to cover places that don't, you know, like small communities that are kind of out of the way, like old logging towns or so on, where I find, for example, young people are a bit strapped for what they want to do. You know, they want to express themselves creatively, but they might not necessarily have the outlet. And I think this might present them with at least the ideas of what they can do and teach them some skills and create interest in them. I like working with youth, and I think that it has a lot of potential to learn and develop on what you teach them, but I'm interested in working with any kind of age, because I think this can be learned by any person, and I want to see what any person has to show.
Were you happy with your pinhole?
Yes, except they couldn't see the fire. But it was an improvement from their last ones when I had this bad camera. Madeline traded me when she smelt the smell of the one I was going to have. It was a really small one and very good.
How did you make your camera?
Oh, well, it was like this box, like a french fry box. It smelt bad.
How was the process making it? Is it a difficult process for people who've never made it?
Not really. You need hockey tape and you need tape to get on.
Or you can use paint.
Or you can use paint, black paint, and then you put it inside your box. Depends on what kind of box it is. If it's a box you can paint, then you can paint it. If it's a box because you can't paint it, then you have to put the hockey tape on.
So what are you trying to do? Why do you need hockey tape?
To make it black inside, because it has to be black, so it's not all like too much light in it. And then you have to make this little hole in it, and you put this sort of silver thing on, and then you cover up the hole with this piece of tape. And then that piece of tape, when you take it off, then your picture gets taken. And you don't just take it off and then put it back on. You have to leave it for a while and then put it back on really quick at the right time. Just at the right time. The pinhole's that thing that you make the hole in. It's an aluminum piece. And then you put it, and then you tape up the box so that it's like hockey tape. And my camera got ruined after the first picture. The first picture didn't work out for any of us, even Madeline.
What was wrong?
We put too much light in, we didn't get to time it. We didn't have a watch of us, so we couldn't time it. And we didn't outdoor, so it was like, she said 20 minutes, but we didn't exactly know we had on that 20 minutes. And that's why they were overexposed. And then you quickly close it up, and it has to be black tape, because like, you can't be duct tape, because duct tape is like, the light was going through it.
Can you reuse a camera? Like a throwaway thing for anyone.
I guess you can reuse it if you tape it with the right kind of tape again and again. Like if you always tape it with hockey tape, it'll be okay.
Hello, my name is Madeline. I'm going to talk about it. Well, the different kinds of cameras, how you can make the cameras, they make them out of garbage. You go to a garbage, and if it's dirty, you clean it out. And so you could use boxes, containers, french fry boxes.
No, not french fry boxes. I remember using it. I don't know my
picture. Well, the french fry boxes don't work too well. Milk containers, some hot cups, soap boxes.
Matchboxes, small camp. You could use conditioner bottles, but it would be hard to put the tape on.
We tried to paint.
We went to our friend John Milton's, and he has a nice backyard, but it's not as nice as his old one. I took a picture of the archway, but it turned up and it didn't work too well. And I took a picture of Spencer Creek. I took a picture of the pond, but it showed the reeds.
And how about you both? Can you just tell me a little bit about the darkroom experience?
It's really fun to be in the darkroom. It was like really dark and there was this red light you could turn on, but even the red light would eventually make it exposed, so you had to sort of like not get too much of that red light on it. But white light definitely would like just expose it at once if you got it on white light again. So you had to use red light.
Well, I'll tell you about what they have in the dark room.
Okay.
Well, there's these three containers and you put it in, starts forming, put the picture in the container. And you put it on the first one, it's the picture shows, and then then you put it in the next container. Stop. And the third, well, you neutralize the picture. Then you wash it off in the rinse. And then that's it. And when you dry it, you put it on the drying rack. After it's dried, you look at the picture. The end!
I'm gonna wrap myself in paper. I'm gonna daub myself with glue. Stick some stamps on the top of my head. I'm gonna mail myself to you.
Contact Radio Free School at grassroots@hwcn.org or mail P.O. Box 19, 1280 Main Street West, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, L8S1CO.